Praise the Lord. What a beautiful thing to have our very close friend and fellow laborer for all the years we've been involved in Ethiopia. For 27 years, we've worked together, walked together, prayed together, laughed together. He's troubled me many a time. God blesses him, and I'm called to keep him humble. And just a wonderful family, wonderful friend, man of God in the truest sense of the word. If I had time to explain all the things, it would take a very long time. He's one of the main leaders in the nation of Ethiopia, Christian church leaders, respected through all the denominations and all the churches, and the Orthodox movement that's happening in the country love him as a teacher. And throughout the world where Ethiopians are serving Christ, they know and respect and love Mamusha. We were kind of smiling if we had let the word out to the Ethiopian community in the city that he's here this morning. There would have been no seats for any of you. They would have all come early and be filling the whole church, and then you'd be standing outside, what's going on there this morning? Because he's that highly respected and loved, and by our family, our two families have walked together, worked together, interacted in every way. And I just want to say that it's an honor. It's great to have you with us in Canada. We're here at the Bible School, as you know, some of you know, and to have you come and just join hands for a few days is like a refreshing blessing. And so I'm very thankful for that. God is at work in the world in huge, huge ways. Like we were just the last few hours talking it over. In Ethiopia and from Ethiopia and beyond, like there's many really, really huge things happening. And I would just say to us this morning, we're not stuck where we are as an individual. We can move on in God. We're not stuck where we are as a city. God can change our city. We're not stuck as a nation. God's changing nations. God is at work in the world, and we want to be a part of that. Amen. And it's an honor to introduce you, Mamusha. He's a very famous, but he stays humble because his name, Mamusha, means little boy, basically. So when you say, you know, doctor, little boy, or evangelist, little man, someone said, you should change your name to something more like, he said, no, this is the best name I could have. And he is genuinely a humble, godly, sweet brother. And so it's an honor to introduce you, Mamusha, and God bless you.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here, and with my name, it keeps me humble, but it also reminds me that I'm still a young boy. So that which it has an advantage. Also, it's so good to be here to share my heart, to share the Word of God with you. Thanks for having me actually to speak to the people here, and. You know, I grew up in northern Ethiopia, in the north, where I don't want to make it complicated for you, but it's very much dominated by the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, an ancient church, of course, that is being transformed by the Word of God now. But by the time I got saved, like it was many years ago, there was a lot of darkness. In the church, it was just a religion, a culture, identity. To be Ethiopian is to be Orthodox. So I grew up during that time, during the communist time. Ethiopia was under communism from 1974 to 91. So it was during that time that I got saved. And we never had gospel-believing churches when I grew up. It's just Orthodox tradition. You find yourself to be an Orthodox. And there is a lot of darkness and witchcraft even. I never knew that a personal relationship with God is a possibility. It's just a religion. We never had even, growing up, I never even saw mosques around. The Ethiopian Orthodox is the only religion. Any other attempt of having any religion will be persecuted. So we did not tolerate anybody. So evangelical Christianity, we call them Pentes. It's a It's kind of like these Protestant evangelicals. We hear about them. I remember growing up, we hear about them invading some parts of Ethiopia. Not us. The north is that strong, resistant community. And I got saved when I was 16, actually. And I remember there were a few school teachers that have come to our town. It was a little town, to be just school teachers. And one was a lab technician in the school, and another one was another school teacher. Three of them, maybe, that were these Pentecost, these evangelicals. And I remember, like, it was a big trouble in the area. It's like these three. And they used to be persecuted by everybody. The communists used to torture them, take them to prison, release them whenever they are supposed to teach on Monday morning. All kinds of things going on. And I remember, like, our parents used to tell us that we need to be very careful about these people. Don't come close to these people. So we used to throw rocks when they come together to pray. When we hear that they're singing, throw rocks on them, do all kinds of things. We were persecutors of these people, like, seriously. And our parents used to tell us, like, you need to be very careful. Like, they have come here to win our town, and we have to remain to be strong Orthodox people. So I remember they used to tell us that whenever you find somebody, these people are known for two things. Number one, they will tell you they talk too much about Jesus, 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 Jesus. So if you hear somebody talk about Jesus so much, run away. Don't even argue. Okay. And then they say they talk too much about Bible. Bible. If they quote Bible, don't argue. They are smart. They were like, they don't argue. Run away. Bad people. So we used to be on guard as kids that if you find somebody saying this, you run away. And you keep your religion very strong, very dark time. And we never came close. There is no time that we come close to these people. So I got saved through somebody who had actually come from a different town that I didn't know that he was one of these bad guys. And he didn't tell me. He just came to visit his brother. And his brother at that time used to be living next door to us. So he came to our neighborhood just to visit his brother. That's it. Young man. And we just walk out. We got to know each other. I took him around town and showed him everything. And he stayed there for a week. He never mentioned those two things. He wasn't one of them. He was a very nice guy. Very nice. By the end of the week, I liked the guy. He's a very nice man. Like, very good guy. But I never thought that he was one of those guys. Anyways, by the end of the week, it was a Sunday afternoon. And we just met to say goodbye. And we sat down and we're reflecting on the week and saying it was good to be goodbye. He was going to go tomorrow morning, supposed to go. So just at the very end, you know, he just asked me a very important question that changed my mind, my life. And he said, you know, Mamusha, just before we say goodbye, have you ever read the Bible? And then I was like, oh, okay. I tried to connect everything. Oh, okay, you're one of them. he said, have you ever read the Bible? I was like, huh? I didn't know what to answer. I don't know if you have been to situations where you have multiple possible answers. So I wanted to be honest and say, I haven't read the Bible. Because I haven't seen, leave alone reading, I haven't seen a Bible in my life. Never seen, even. The Bible is this mysterious, used to be this spiritual book that the priests and high people will have it, and ordinary people like us will hear from them. It's like, it's not for common reading when I grew up. I never saw a Bible in my life. But I knew that this is one of those bad guys. So I wanted also, part of me wanted to defend my religion and say, so I was like struggling, and then I said, Bible? Yeah, you know, we're Christians. Yeah, of course we do, you know, we do. And he was like, I thought I would be done. Do you read the Bible? Yes, I do, because we're Christians, you know? And he kept talking. He said, so you read the Bible? Yes, we're Christians, you know. And he kept asking. He said, very gentle. So you, do you have one at home? Yes, we are Christians. So, and he was very happy. He was very appreciative. He appreciated me. He said, you know, you are reading a wonderful book. It's a good book. It's a life-changing book. It's Oh, okay. It's, you know, you're reading a wonderful book. And then he pulled from the shelf the very first Bible that I saw in my life, a black cover Bible. You know, this is a wonderful book. And in my heart, I was saying, oh, that's the Bible? I was like, so, and he said, this is a great book. And I said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he started reading. Just reading. Like, he didn't even try to preach or convince or do anything. It's just like, this is a good book. And then he would start by saying, I know you have read the Gospel of John. Yeah, you have read John chapter 1. I'm sure you. And then he would read it for me for the first time. Like, he would just read, and then I didn't have any chance, but listen, I'm sure you have read John chapter 3, right? And then he would read. And this is the very first time that I heard the Bible read in my own language. You know, the Orthodox Church used a very old, ancient liturgical language. Maybe they have read it for me, but I never heard it. So you'd just be reading passages after passages. I don't remember him preaching to me that much. Just reading of stories and Bible, read from Romans and Revelation and all kinds of New Testament books. And he read and read. I was just listening and listening. And then finally, he didn't ask me to do anything. He didn't ask me to accept Jesus or pray for me or nothing. He just said, keep reading the Bible. Goodbye. I will see you whenever I see you. And I said goodbye and good night. Went home. And then that was the very first night, as far as I remember, that I was not able to go to sleep. I tried to sleep hard, but I couldn't sleep. The whole night, I was just trying. It's very difficult for me to describe, even for people, the experience that I had. I would hear those verses over and over and over again. And I was confused because he never made me memorize them or he didn't explain. He's just over and over. For those that accept Jesus, he gives them authority to be children of God. Just how can I accept this? If I accept, I know my family would reject me. I'll be persecuted. I've thrown a lot of rocks. I'll get them back. I know all those kinds of things. I'm like calculating all the risks. I said, no, I can't. How can I accept this? Like, this is like, no, I can't. I go back and then just passages after passages after. Whoever believes in Jesus, you will not be condemned. It's just like all over and over and over. I couldn't go back to sleep. And finally, just early in the morning, I had a very sleepless night. I felt like something is going on, but I cannot describe it. Like, what is going on in my life? Like, what is happening? So I decided to go back before he goes to the bus station early in the morning to check what is happening to me. I went there and I just knocked the door and he was ready to go. He packed his bag, ready to go to the bus station, and he was worried. Like, he said, Mamusha, what happened? I said, I don't know what happened to me. Tell me. And I tried to describe, like, what is going on? I said, I didn't sleep the whole night. And this is happening. All the verses you read to me, all those things you read, they're coming back. And then finally he said, you know, that's the Holy Spirit. I said, what is the Holy Spirit? And then he had to explain the Holy Spirit and said, what does God want me to do? I just wanted to know, what does he want me to do? Because I just want to be free. Like, what is happening? And he said, you know, he wants you to come to be a child of God, need to be born again. How can I do that? I can pray for you. I knelt down, accepted Christ as my personal Savior. My life changed completely since then. That's how I came to the Lord. He stayed one day more and took me to that small fellowship I used to hate and persecute. I joined that church, and then the church started to grow. Long story. The Lord just changed it, completely transformed my life through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Of course, I got the persecution from all kinds of directions, from my parents, from the Orthodox Church, from the communists, from all kinds of things. But God has been faithful. And then after a couple of years or so, I was just like a very baby Christian. Like, I just joined that church, spoke the word of God. I was just growing in the Lord. Came to Addis Ababa, the capital, for the first time because I came to college, teacher's training college. And then in the teacher's training college, there was this vibrant student movement going on. I joined the student movement, the Christian student movement. When I was second year, I was already one of the leaders of the fellowship. So I came to ministry, preach the word, bring people to Christ, and organize things. My ABCs in ministry started in that college. And I felt like for the first time, I never grew up in a formal church. So I don't know how the church functioned that time, like normal church, like this kind of church. I never saw a pulpit, a church like this, a pastor, elders. Like those three people were everything to us. We go, share the word of God, pray, sing, go, like life. So I didn't know like denominations, head office, what do you do, like all kinds. I never had that formal experience and background. But I felt God calling me to ministry and harvest. I was very young at that time, believe me. I was like very young in the Lord, very young, like age-wise, everything. I didn't have the experience. I don't know church. But I heard God repeatedly calling me to go, and lots of kinds of things that I have seen. I don't want to bore you with my stories. But visions of great harvest coming. Because the church at that time in Ethiopia was very like, we're just very small portion of the population. Meeting underground, persecuted, no buildings, no nothing. But God used to show me this great harvest coming. And calling me to be part of that work. I couldn't describe it. I know God has called me, but I don't know what to do about it. Where do you go? Whom do you talk to? Anyways, I finished that college and then I came to full-time ministry, but confused of what do you do? So I went and talked to people. I didn't know that God didn't tell me. If he had told me, I wouldn't have said yes. He didn't tell me that young people like me, inexperienced, no church background, are not welcome to be ministers in the church. So I go and talk to some of the old people, older leaders that we have, and I was like, this is good. Maybe in the future, go and find a job. Maybe in the future, when you get older, people will listen to you. Maybe in the future. And they will convince me. I go back, and I'll pray about what is going on, and God would say, no, this is the age. This is the time. This is the time I want. So it was during that time, 1993, I think, 20-something years ago, that Brian and Val came to Ethiopia as missionaries from the PLC. That was when they met me. I met them. And we used to travel together with Brian just as his translator, interpreter, as he goes around to the villages. But anyways, that was God's mercy for me. He knew that I was so weak, would have been discouraged and quit ministry. They came alongside. For the first time, I had people that I would talk to, and they would say, yes, God has called you. Really? Yeah, God has called you. And it's like, and since then, we've been like, I don't know what I would have been without Brian and Val in Ethiopia, honestly. Like, I travel around, as Brian said, I preach and teach to crowds now. I mean, I could go around and preach to Ethiopian churches or other churches and involved in ministry, great things happening in Ethiopia. And now people may know Mamusha, but at that time it was like it needed a couple that would just walk alongside and encourage this little boy. And I don't know where I would have been, honestly. So I love them, I honor them, and I'm just so thankful for the lives that they were able to invest. They have invested in the lives of many, 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 many people. I was one of the closest fortunate that they invested on me, and we see the fruit of what God is doing in Ethiopia today. So I'm just so thankful that God has changed my life and brought me to people like him and Val to bring me into ministry and just encourage me to stay on course, because I would have gone off course many times, off track many times, and I'm just so thankful. And God has used them so much in Ethiopia. Not only me. If you find people and leaders, if you had the time to listen to, these people came alongside us, alongside churches. We were, like, when the communist government went down and the church were coming from the underground movement, we find out that God is actually, we thought the church was closed, but the church was actually wide open in the houses and growing. One of our first church down in southern Ethiopia was, the building was confiscated by the government. They took the government, the church building, and they turned it into some kind of a business corporation or something. And the church was persecuted. Leaders were in prison. Church went to be in the houses. After 17 years, when the current government came to power and the building was returned back to the church, leave alone the church building, the compound would not accommodate the people that have come from. So the church had grown, but it needed trained leaders to take care of the church. And it was through the POC and Brian and Val coming alongside that we were able to produce the leaders of today, that God is doing amazing things in Ethiopia. So I'm so thankful. Sorry for my story, but I had to tell you this before I share from the Word of God. I just want to share a little bit from the Word of God, reflect with you. I don't know how long you go with a normal sermon, but welcome to Africa. So I don't plan to go long, but I just want to share something that has been in my heart for, like when I reflect these days of life and ministry and the church, what is going on around the world, I just want to confirm what Brian was sharing, that God is at work, and we need to understand that. That's what I think, what I want to share. But I want to share a little bit from a passage in 2 Corinthians this morning that has lifted my heart up, and I hope that it would lift our spirits to just focus on the bigger things that God is doing and be part of that, is what I want to share. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll focus beginning from verse 14 to verse 17, where Paul says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those that are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? And like so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. You know, I have been thinking and reflecting on this passage, and it feels for me like, this past month we were in California with my wife and two of our children, two girls, we call this kind of church a foreign church. So teaching you some Amarinya, some Amharic. A foreign church is a foreigner church. So we were in a foreign church in California, in a Californian church. And our hosts were very good hosts that we had. They showed us a lot of things. One of the things they showed us was they took us to a stadium to watch a live game. They bought tickets and took us to a baseball stadium. A baseball is something that we had no clue. We were like there, like a baseball stadium. Like we went and sat down, and we couldn't figure out anything going on. We'd be asking lots of questions, like lots of questions. I think we had questions more than watching the game. But every time I was watching that baseball game, I was wishing inside my heart, I wish this was a soccer game, soccer stadium. That we love soccer. We call it football. It's a football stadium, or a soccer stadium. That was inside. Like I wish that was soccer, because I watch soccer and I love soccer, and that's kind of my common language with my boys. Is when everything goes boring, they are not interested to talk about anything. I talk about football, they come alive. So it's a very tiring game, especially for the players. 90 minutes. I don't know if Canadians are aware, 90 minutes. And then sometimes when teams tie up and there has to be a winner, they go into what you call the extra time. You watch 90 minutes, they play for 90 minutes, and then after 90 minutes, there is this another half an hour that they have to go through to identify the winner. We call that extra time. Extra time is a very boring, I don't know how they can survive. You can tell that they're bored. A lot of physical fatigue. The player's attitude changes. Everyone seems to be angry at each other. Even to watch, it's a very tiring, boring. Extra time is so, it's like a lot of fatigue going on. It's like physically tired. Like things are abnormal. When I read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that's what I think of Paul in ministry. I think of Paul in life. He seems to be in this kind of extra time fatigue about everything. I don't know if you had the chance to read, say, for example, verses 12 and 13, the kind of the attitude that he has, the feeling that he has, do not seem to match with verse 14. I don't know if you have your Bibles with you. Look, he says, he's just so tired. 12 and 13 is just tired. He says, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord has opened a door for me, to the extent, he was so discouraged to the extent that there was an open door before him. But he says, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them, to the open door, and go to Macedonia. He's just like, so discouraged. There was an open door for me, but my heart wasn't settled. He says, I did not have a peace of mind. The heart was not settled. He was troubled so much, a lot of worries and concern. He says, I never found my brother Titus waiting for him, open door, opportunity, but discouraged. You may probably know the story that his relationship with the church in Corinth was always ups and downs. He planted the church, but they had their own super apostles, favorites, discouraged Paul many times. He wrote them many times, multiple. We have 2 Corinthians. Many times he challenged them. But this time, he wrote a letter, a very difficult letter, probably a very rebuking letter, a painful letter to them through Titus, trying to solve the problem. So Titus took the letter, gave it to them, and Paul was waiting for him to come and tell him what is happening in that little congregation. Are they happy? Are they repentant? Are they discouraged? It was just a rebuke. So it's just, when you think about that smaller world, it's a tough situation. What are they thinking maybe? Are they angry, more discouraged? Or are they repentant, bearing fruit? What is going on? Waiting for Titus for a long time, thinking about this problem. He was so discouraged. And then comes to verse 14 and he says, thanks be to God. So there is this burst in worship and happy and encouraged again. Not because he found Titus. Not because that problem is solved. But I think when I see verse 14, there is this, he seems to be refocusing from little Corinth to what God is doing in the world today. There was a shift in trying to understand God's big program, God's big mission. What is God doing around the world? What is God really, what is happening beyond the little Corinth pool, small pool? What is happening in the ocean? He's trying to reflect, thanks be to God. And he was so encouraged again to do what God has called him to do, because he was just focusing on the big story, the big program that God is doing around the world today. He says, thanks be to God. There is a refocus of what is God doing, God's mission. And he says, thanks be to God, because he's working. God is still working. This little pool, it has many questions, many issues, but he reflects on what God is doing in the world. He says, thanks be to God, who always leads us in a triumphal procession, like a parade, like a military parade, a military procession. He says, God is actually leading a victory procession around the world, spreading the victory of his son. So he thinks about God and what he's doing, like the big ocean. He says, God is still at work. God is still at work. What is he doing? He's leading a military victory procession around the world, which is very common, even in our time, their time. It's like when a military general comes into town after a decisive battle that he has won, there is this ceremony. It's like everybody is talking about declaring the victory of this general. So Paul is reflecting, this pool is very small pool, troubled, but God is still out there declaring the victory of his son Jesus around the world. Hard to believe. It's like God is on the move. What is he doing? He's leading a procession. He has already won the battle. I don't want to lecture you on that. He has already won the battle, the death and resurrection. That's the gospel. Colossians chapter 2 has disarmed the enemies, made them a public spectacle. The battle is already won. I don't know. The decisive battle is already won by the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's already done. God is not like, it's not like true enemies fighting, trying to win. It's not like the real game is going on. The real game is already done. The score is already, we know the story. We know the end of the story. The battle is already won. What is God doing then? He's declaring that around the world. In ways that we see, in ways that we don't see, he is leading that victory procession around the world, declaring the victory of his son. Sometimes in ways that we see, like in Ethiopia, we see the victory of Jesus going and you just see it. Church planters go, they plant churches, Islamic communities, Orthodox communities, people like me. Everywhere you go, you see the hand of God moving. But if we really see the big picture, God is working everywhere. In ways we see, in ways we don't see. And then finally, actually, by the end of the story, what God wants us to show us in the future is the completion of that victory. It's like God is moving, God is working. He's leading us into victory procession. He is moving, he's working. And then Paul reflects on what God is doing. This is what I really want to, I feel like we need to get this. What God is doing, he's moving, he's working. It's like when you think of some little things around you, of course, there is trouble, there is issues. I think when I see the church today, it seems to be in a very extra time kind of mood. Everybody is complaining about every little thing that's happened to me, that happened to the church, that nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. Like, one of the things you hear is nothing is happening. Great things are happening. It's like nothing, because we think of our life and we say, no, nothing is happening today in the world. A lot of things are happening. The small pool, maybe there are issues. But in the bigger picture, God is moving. The kingdom is moving. God is doing great things in the world today. But many times we are in this mood, like, I think the enemy likes it. That's why he tells us a lot of bad news. Nothing is happening. And we say, nothing is happening. Great things are happening. God is moving in countries. The kingdom is going. The kingdom is growing. And finally, God will show to the whole world. Otherwise, we'll be in trouble. Like, if God is not moving today, how do you predict the end? It's because God is moving and working that finally we see a world redeemed for the glory of Christ. So, and then he thinks about what God is doing. He actually reflects on the thing he thinks is like, what actually the main thing that we need to think is, what is my role in that operation? God is moving out there, declaring the victory of Christ. And then he brings our role. This is not just for the apostles, by the way. This is not just for church ministers. This is for all of us. And then he says, what is our role in that program, in that ocean? It's better to reflect on the big picture. What is God doing? What is my role? What is God doing? What is my role as Christian? I don't know if you catch up this word. He says, as God is doing this, we are, it's actually, he says, thanks be to God who always leads us in a triumphal procession in Christ. And then he says, it is through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of that victory, the aroma of that victory. So he says, God is moving and we are that aroma, that fragrance. That he is actually declaring the victory of his son, not by a loud speaker from heaven. He's actually declaring through our lives. Now, I don't know if you catch this word repeated. Fragrance, aroma, fragrance, aroma. Who am I? Who are we supposed to be? The fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. Verse 15. We are to God, the aroma. That victory is declared through our lives. The aroma of Christ. He says, we are the aroma of Christ among those that are perishing and among those that are being saved. where the aroma for, it's like there is eternal consequence of our being an aroma of Christ. For those that are being saved, they would smell that aroma, they take that aroma and accept it as, this is great. For those that are perishing, they would smell the same aroma of Christ and they reject and they have eternal death. So from among the people that are perishing and being saved, we're supposed to be bringing the life of Christ. We are there to spread the aroma, the fragrance of Christ around the world, to fill the world with the aroma of Christ. In Ethiopia, we drink a lot of coffee. I don't know if you heard about that. So coming to Canada, the suffering I have coming to Northern... the cost of ministry life in North America is missing that coffee. But Brian makes one for me from Ethiopia. But we enjoy coffee. We grow a lot of coffee, and we enjoy coffee. I think what you guys do in North America on coffee is... we will consider it like a crime. You grab a cup of coffee and just drink, and that's coffee. For us, coffee is not just, you just don't drink coffee. You drink the whole thing. We have what we call coffee ceremony. And in a coffee ceremony, we start from the raw green beans, and it gets roasted in the house. And the moment they just start roasting that coffee, the whole house eventually gets full of the aroma of coffee when it gets roasted. We don't just drink a cup of coffee. We drink the aroma. We drink that. I don't know if you can drink the aroma. It's like it fills the whole place, whether you like it or not. You may like it, or you may be this, I don't like coffee. You still have the aroma of coffee. You like it like me? You don't like it? It's there. Its presence is there. We're not just called to be these ordinary Christians coming to church and going and coming and going. We're called to be this aroma that fills the whole... people may like it. People may not like it. But you feel it. But you feel the presence of coffee. You feel the presence of Christ. We're supposed to be that aroma of Christ that fills the entire world. That is our role. We're not just ordinary religious people playing religion. They have that religion. I have this religion. That's not who we are. Who we are is God is out there trying to... God is out there declaring the victory of the Son, Jesus Christ. But the way he does it is through my life. That I become a representative of Christ. I become that aroma of Christ. People come and see Christ through my life. They feel the aroma. That is the program. The program that he's reflecting is, God is out there working. I have a role to play. God is out there leading a victory procession. I am the aroma of Christ to fill the earth. That is what brought thanks be to God from, I don't have a peace of mind. I don't have a peace of mind. I'm troubled, waiting for Titus to come. What are they thinking? Lots of problems in the church today. My heart is troubled. Nothing is happening. It's very discouraging. Two, thanks be to God. God is on the move. I have a role to play. God is moving, filling the earth. I am there to be an aroma of Christ. That feeling brought the whole change. That reflection brought the whole change. So my heart today is, may we just stop focusing too much on the little troubles we have and focus on spirit. May God give us spiritual eyes to see of what is happening in the world today is not what the media is telling us. The real thing that's happening today is God is actually declaring the victory of his Son, Jesus Christ, around the world. It is. It's because we don't see it. It's because we don't reflect it. God is actually moving. God is actually taking history to the direction that he wants us to go. It's like politicians will not tell us, the media doesn't tell us, but God is on the move. The question is, would we participate? He is doing it. He is doing it already. Would we participate of being an aroma of Christ? Do we take that responsibility that I have a role to play in God's program? You know, that's how the church in Ethiopia grew. Maybe you have heard about a lot about the church in Ethiopia. It grew significantly in our time, in our age. It's like we saw it from being so much taking just evangelical denominations, just evangelical Christianity. We were a tiny little less than 1% in the 1960s. To just evangelicals, churches, to 25% people are estimating now of the population. Very significant. Churches planted in southern Ethiopia, northern, west, east, central, lots of churches planted. We had very few churches that the communists thought have closed the church. We have now thousands of churches that we don't, we were talking with Brian and Val yesterday, we don't even talk numbers anymore. It's not just, it has gone beyond numbers, it has taken villages, the gospel has gone to places where we couldn't even imagine. Coming to northern Ethiopia, having churches, church buildings, you go to every place that there is the church, the presence of the church. And God is also moving in a different way now, as I shared a little bit, bringing the gospel into, in the past, it was like an Orthodox person like me, for example, gets saved, you leave the Orthodox church, come to a Pentecostal church, evangelical church. Now, it's like the gospel is actually going into that ancient Christian church, the Orthodox church. Priests, many times people get confused when I talk about this, priests getting saved. Bishops getting saved. It's like a bishop getting saved. Bishops and priests and leaders getting saved. Just before I came, we had meetings of bishops that just got saved, talking about how can we bring the gospel and the Bible back to our people. In the past, it was just, they were just persecutors. Now it's like, how can we bring the gospel to our people, bringing the Bible into our people? Islamic communities, the same way. The gospel going in there. Like great things happening in Ethiopia. But I think part of the role that the church played, Christians played, is being an aroma of Christ in the nation. It's like people saw Christ not because of the amazing teachings and preaching and church and organization and some of the beautiful church design. We actually don't have proper even church designs in Ethiopia. We just meet, sometimes you see churches meeting in these plastic shelters and under the tree. It's not like, the building is not attractive. But people seem to be coming. Because I think there are men and women in Ethiopia that have gone out and represented Christ in a good way. They are out there as an aroma of Christ. When the church grew, it was through people like you and me. It wasn't like always an evangelist going. It's just people, professional people that went out, represented Christ. The church grew through, many of the churches were planted because of the presence of school teachers and doctors and community workers and bankers and politicians that represent Christ. That prepares the way for people to come to Christ. It is through us, when we become an aroma of Christ, that the victory of Christ will fill the earth. That I think we need to understand is like, it's through me. I'm not just this religious guy. I'm supposed to be an aroma of Christ to Canada, to everywhere, to every place, declaring the victory of God. I can't say much about many things, but I was talking to a government minister in Ethiopia. God is blessing us with a lot of good Christians that are coming to the political arena today, miraculously. There's some good Christians. I know that they're good Christians. It's not about their political views. They are good people. More than me. I know I have to follow their example. Seriously. They're not like these pastors. Apostles, forget them. They don't claim to be these big guys. Simple government professionals. Going into politics. Going into the banks. Good people. And I was talking to one of them. She's a government, leading one of the government agencies. Critical position. She's a CEO, very good Christian. And we're talking on the phone, because it was our New Year last week, believe it or not, the real New Year. And we were talking on the phone, and she was telling me about, like, you know, I am a CEO of a company, a government company, that has 35,000 workers. And she says, this is a big responsibility. And she was telling me what God is doing. And she said, I feel like I represent Christ here. And she was saying, telling me amazing things about, like, she said, senior executives would like to meet up with me. She says, they would, like department leaders, they would say, can we have a little bit of time with you? And she said, I used to focus on what is the agenda? What do you want me to discuss? No, not for discussion, not for work. But can I just come and spend a little bit of time with you? And she said, many times the testimony is, whenever I come to your office and just talk to you, many of them are Muslims, by the way, I feel I have this peace inside me. Whenever I come and talk to you, I feel encouraged. Whenever I come, there is this special feeling. And we're talking about, this is the aroma of Christ. She's not declaring, she's not proclaiming by mouth, she can't say that. But people already realize that her presence means that there is a changed environment. There is peace. There is a peace of Christ in that environment. May just God help us to go out and represent Christ, because that is your role, is to go out and be an aroma and a fragrance of Christ in the world today. I'm finishing up, but that's how Brian taught me to preach, is just the last word, the final word is, I think, what makes the difference is, we are the aroma of Christ. So, he says, we do not mix, we do not peddle the word of God, we do not water it down, but he says, we live, we speak before people with sincerity, a genuine life. It's because we live a sincere, genuine life that we become the aroma of Christ. That's our responsibility, is to live a genuine life before people so we become the aroma of Christ to fill the earth. Coming back to coffee. Take the raw coffee. You can keep it as close as possible. Try to smell anything. If you smell, it's not a good one. If you can't smell, actually, it's raw. It's not grilled. It's not on fire. That wouldn't feel the aroma. Many Christians want the aroma of Christ to fill the earth, but they want to keep their life as a raw coffee. Don't touch me. It's not sacrificed for God. It's not on that frying pan. It's not submitted to on the altar. It's that same coffee. When it dies and rosts, and it's not an easy life. It's not an easy. It goes through the firing, goes through the fire, goes sacrificed, die, sincere, genuine, you feel the earth. It's not, if we keep everything as we are, don't even try to move an inch and sacrifice. We don't preach a gospel of sacrifice these days. It's because the apostles were sacrificed that the aroma filled the earth. A lot of people, when I teach things about this, love the idea of the aroma of Christ will fill the earth. Amen. Question is, are you ready to be grilled? Submitted, sacrificed, roasted. And if we keep our lives, our attitudes, our comfort, our everything, like, and expect the aroma to fill the earth. And it's like in some churches, they even like declare that the aroma would fill. And God must be smiling up there. It's through our lives of sincerity and love and genuine to go out and represent Christ. That's when you see God moving. I know that there is a desire, there is a heart, there is a thirst for God to move in Canada today. And he's moving. He will move. He's declaring the victory of his son. But he's looking for people like you and me that do not just think that I'm just a religious person, but sacrifice their lives, give your lives, be on that roasting pan, commit ourselves and sacrifice, and then we see the aroma filling the earth. That is my prayer. That is my desire. That is my message. God is out there Let's focus on the big things he's doing. Bring our lives as an aroma of Christ. That's how we see the life of Christ spreading everywhere as God intends it to be. May I challenge us to give our lives for this purpose. I challenge us to do a refocus of from the little things, the small things that are happening. God is calling us to refocus on the big things that he's accomplishing. And to think of our role. What a privilege it is. That's why I think Paul is saying, thanks be to God. It's not like, oh, I need to be sacrificed again. It's like, thanks be to God. It's a huge program. It's an honor to be. God is already doing it, even without me. God is already doing it, but he's inviting us to sacrificially join him in that program. May we say yes and come close with sacrifice. If we do that, we see the aroma of Christ filling the earth. Refocus on what God is doing. Refocus on what your role is, and we see God operating around the world. May we say yes and commit ourselves to such a big purpose with thanks be to God. Let's finish in prayer. I don't know what your smaller world looks like privately in your lives, homes. And I know that there could be lots of troubles and problems that make you to be discouraged sometimes in that kind of extra time fatigue. I don't know if you are going through those things. God is calling his church today to just refocus on the big program that he has for you. There is a grand purpose that we usually don't understand. God is moving. He's leading a victory procession. He's declaring the victory of his son around the world, but he's calling his church. He's calling his church to say yes. He's calling people like you and me, like that we have to make the decision and the sacrifice. I don't know what sacrificial life God is calling you to, but I would encourage you to do it because that is the way that the aroma of Christ comes out. We're not just called to live an ordinary life and say goodbye to this world. We're called to live an extraordinary life representing Christ in this world. And if we all come together, not just pastors, evangelists, prophets, church leaders, but all of us, if all of us kind of feel like this is my calling. My calling is not just to get stuck with the small things of life, but come out and see the grand plan that God has for this world and the big plan that he has for my life. I think that's what the Holy Spirit is calling us. God will move in Canada. He is moving in Canada. But he's calling a church. He's calling the church. He's calling people like you and me to just give our lives to him sacrificially so that the aroma of Christ will fill the earth. You know, the hospitals, the banks that you are working, the marketplace that you are going to. He brings the aroma of Christ to people like that. A life that will transform the whole nation. God is calling us as a church to say yes. So I would encourage you to just refocus now, this week, this coming year, that I'll come out from the little things and just focus on God, what God is doing, and sacrificially give my life. I will just pray my heart now and then let Pastor Len to come and just finish it the way he feels. But I just want to make a prayer from my heart for us, for Canada, for Ethiopia, for the church that seems to be tired and discouraged globally, for God to open our eyes. God, open our eyes, Father. Open our eyes to what you're doing. Open our eyes to see deeper, not just the surface things that we see around the world, not just what the media is telling us, not what people are telling us, may you open our eyes to see deeply of what you're doing in the world today. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here, myself. And Father, may you just pull us out from the little things that discourage us, as Paul was discouraged and his heart was troubled. May you take us out from that and help us to just see the bigger things that you are doing and pray and sacrifice our lives to be part of that. Pray especially for individuals this morning that are here that are troubled with so many things that are going on in their lives. Maybe the solution is maybe to just leave it on your hand and sacrifice our lives to the purpose that you have called us to be. So may you help them and us to once again see what God is doing and be part, sacrificially be part of what you are doing. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word that you can change the state of the heart from I don't have peace in my mind to thanks be to God. May that happen today, Jesus. May that happen today in our hearts. May you transform the hearts of discouraged people to thanks be to God. There is a greater thing. There is a greater program that you have called me to be part of. Holy Spirit, would you do that in my heart? Would you do that in the hearts of your people? That we will be representatives of sacrificial people that commit their lives for the aroma to come out. God is calling the church to live sacrificially so the aroma would fill the earth. God is calling you to sacrificially commit your lives to the bigger things so the aroma would fill Canada. The aroma of Christ would fill the earth. Thank you, Jesus.